and on blast.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Faith Perlow, Brian Lynn, and Gregory Stockel. Faith has a story about mental health in the U.S. military. Brian tells about how people in Argentina are dealing with a rising cost of living. And Greg looks at the unusual behavior of two stars 3,000 light years from Earth. Later, I will bring you this week's Higher Education Report. And you will not want to miss Ana Mateo's words and their stories. Now, here's Faith Perlow.
Suicide rates among active members of the U.S. military are on the rise. As a result, the U.S. Pentagon and the Secretary of Defense are examining ways to change their mental health programs. Between 2015 and 2020, the number of suicides of active duty service members increased more than 40%. In 2020 alone, the number increased by 15%. The Cost of War Project is a research effort based at Brown University. Last year, it carried out a study on the number of current and former military members who have died in the past 20 years. The study found that the number who died by suicide is 4 times higher than the number who died while fighting. Its count dates back to the September 11th terrorist attacks. In March, U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin announced an examination of the military's mental health and suicide prevention programs by an independent committee. Austin said it was important that the military takes care of its members. "Clearly, we have more work to do," he said. In 2021, the Army issued new guidelines to its commanders about how to deal with the mental health of its service members. However, many long-term difficulties are still present. Many soldiers do not talk about mental health struggles because of the stigma surrounding it. For those who do speak up, many find out that the stigma is real. There are charitable organizations for service members that offer additional support programs. Some organizations center their efforts on recreation and outside activities, such as fishing competitions in Alaska. Others give support for self-care, including the YMCA's Armed Services Programs. Service members say that when they speak up about needing help, it is difficult to receive the services they need. Dion Williamson is a 46-year-old Navy Lieutenant Commander. After she finished a tour in Afghanistan in 2012, she said she could not feel her feelings. She also experienced other symptoms like memory loss and tiredness, as well as depression. "It's like I lost me somewhere," said Williamson. "I went to my captain and said, 'Sir, I need help. Something's wrong.'" Williamson said that she fought for years to get time off and go to therapy. "It's a wonder how I made it through," she said. She went into the hospital for a month. She took part in a therapy program that includes horses and horseback riding. The program was a breakthrough for Williamson. Working with and riding horses has proven to be helpful for people with physical and mental disabilities, especially children. In recent years, horse therapy has also been helping service members with anxiety and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Williamson now rides horses often at the Cloverleaf Equine Center in Clifton, Virginia. There, riding is combined with other therapies. Shelby Morrison is Cloverleaf's communications director. She said, in order to be able to work with horses, you need to be able to regulate your emotions. They communicate through body language and energy. Morrison added that service members come with a lot of anxiety, depression, PTSD. We use the horse to get them out of their triggers. The riding sessions helped calm Williamson. She said she feels good for the first time in a long time, but she said she still struggles. "Now, even if I can't get out of bed, I make sure to come here," she said. "If I didn't come here, I don't know where I would even be." I'm Faith Perlow.
Inflation continues to rise to record levels in Argentina. The country faces a possible inflation rate of 100% this year. As prices rise, some people have turned to waste dumps to seek materials that can be sold for recycling. Others are lining up to trade personal belongings in special groups or clubs to earn extra money. This year, the South American nation is set to record its sharpest rise in prices since 1990. The rate represents an extreme case, although many nations face inflation partly brought on by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. "My income is no longer enough," said Sergio Omar. The 41-year-old told Reuters he spent 12 hours a day searching through waste at a landfill in Luján, about 65 kilometers outside the capital, Buenos Aires. He looks for cardboard, plastic, and metal that he can sell. Omar said food costs have increased so much in recent months that it has become hard to feed his family with five children. He said an increasing number of people are coming to the waste dump to find materials they can sell in the struggle to survive. "Twice as many people are coming here because there is so much crisis," Omar added. He explained that he could make between $13 and $40 per day selling recyclable waste. At the dump, Reuters reporters saw men and women searching for usable clothing and even food. They move through mountains of flowing waste alongside rats, wild dogs, and birds. gases produced by the breakdown of waste can cause sudden fires. 100 years ago, Argentina was one of the world's richest countries. But in recent years, it has experienced several economic crises and struggled to keep inflation under control. Now, prices are rising at the fastest rate since the 1990s. The problems are linked to government deficit spending and a series of price increases by businesses. Existing problems worsened because of worldwide increases in fertilizer costs and natural gas import prices. Experts questioned by Reuters estimated that inflation likely rose 6.7% in September. That has led the central bank to raise the interest rate to 75%, with the possibility of additional increases. Poverty rose to over 36% of the population in the first half of 2022. Extreme poverty rose to 8.8%, which represents about 2.6 million people. Government assistance programs have helped prevent further poverty rises, but some people are calling for more social spending. In 2001, during one of Argentina's worst economic crises, Sandra Contreras set up the Luján Barter Club. This idea is now growing in popularity as many Argentines are trading things like old clothes for needed food supplies without using money. Contreras told Reuters that many people come to the club very desperate because their jobs no longer provide enough money. She said, "Things are getting worse day by day." Contreras noted that some people start lining up 2 hours before the barter club opens each morning. "People have no money left. They need to take something home, so there's no choice but to barter." Pablo Lopez is a 26-year-old man who works in a small recycling center. He said the effects of rising prices can be seen clearly every day. "This inflation is a madness. You can see it here with the people who come to work that inflation hits us all," Lopez said. I'm Brian Lynn.
Unlike the sun, about half of the stars in our Milky Way galaxy orbit another star in what is known as a binary system. The word binary means two. Researchers recently described an unusual binary system in the science publication Nature. The two stars orbit each other every 51 minutes in one of the fastest orbital periods known for a rare kind of binary star. The two stars are about 3,000 light-years from Earth. One light-year is the distance light travels in a year. The system belongs to a kind of binary stars known as cataclysmic variable. That term describes a star system that can brighten by as much as 10,000 times for short periods. The unusual system includes a star similar to our Sun, orbiting very closely to what is called a white dwarf. A white dwarf is the hot and dense center of a burned-out star. Over billions of years, the distance between the two stars has decreased so much that they are now closer than the moon is to Earth. Massachusetts Institute of Technology space scientist Kevin Burge was lead writer of the study. He said, Imagine if the moon zipped across the sky 10 times a night. That's the kind of speed we are talking about. Because of the small distance between them, the white dwarf is taking material from the larger star. The larger star is about the same temperature as the sun, but it is now only the size of Jupiter, the largest planet in our system. The white dwarf has a mass equal to 56% of our own sun. It is extremely dense, however, because it is only 1.5 times the Earth's width. Birch said, "When stars die of old age, they become white dwarfs, but then this remnant began to eat its companion." Burge added that the white dwarf interrupted the normal development of the first star. He said the stars have been orbiting each other for 8 billion years. The researchers used data from the Palomar Observatory in California and from telescopes in Hawaii and in the Canary Islands. Stars are mostly made up of hydrogen, with smaller amounts of helium and other elements. In this system, the larger of the two stars has an unusually large amount of helium. Scientists say it lost hydrogen from its outer layers to the smaller white dwarf. At the same time, its hot center continues to make helium from existing hydrogen through the process of nuclear fusion. The binary system periodically brightens by a huge amount, partly because the larger star is being pulled out of its normal shape by the white dwarf's gravity. There are more than 1,000 known cataclysmic variables. Only 12 or so have orbital periods below 75 minutes. While the binary system's 51 minutes is quick, it is not the record when compared to other kinds of binaries. The fastest known orbital period among binary stars is just 5 minutes and 21 seconds. "There's tons of wild stuff going on in space," noted Burge. I'm Gregory Stockel.
This year's results on a U.S. college admissions test are the lowest they have been in 30 years. Experts say the results are the latest evidence of learning interference caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. The American College Test, or ACT, is a standardized test used for college admissions in the United States. The ACT is administered by a nonprofit organization of the same name. The class of 2022 average ACT score was 19.8 out of 36. It marks the first time since 1991 that the average score was below 20. In addition, an increasing number of high school students failed to meet any of the subject area benchmarks or targets set by the ACT. This shows a drop in preparedness for college-level studies. The test results were made public in a report on Wednesday. The report shows that 42% of ACT-tested graduates in the class of 2022 met none of the subject benchmarks in English, reading, science, and math. These benchmarks are considered predictions for how students might perform in college classes. In 2021, 38% of ACT test takers failed to meet any of the benchmarks. "Academic preparedness is where we are seeing the decline," said Rose Babington. She is Senior Director for State Partnerships for the ACT. ACT scores have been dropping steadily in recent years. However, the large drop during this past year is particularly alarming, said ACT Chief Executive Officer Janet Godwin. Godwin added, "We see rapidly growing numbers of seniors leaving high school without meeting college readiness benchmarks in any of the subjects we measure." The results also offer a look into systemic unfairness in education that existed before the pandemic closed schools. For example, students who are not offered high-level classes in high school suffered more during the pandemic, Babington said. Those students usually are from rural areas or come from poorer families and are often students of color. The number of high school students taking the ACT has dropped 30% since 2018. That is because high school graduates are increasingly not going to college. Also, some universities no longer require standardized test scores for admission. Standardized tests, such as the ACT, have faced growing concerns that they are unfair to minority and low-income students. Students who take costly test preparation classes or advanced classes in high school often perform better. Babington defended the test as a measure of college readiness. Now more than ever, the last few years have shown us the importance of having high-quality data to help inform how we support students, Babington said. Colleges and universities are increasingly ending long-standing requirements for standardized tests. The University of California system even has a test-blind policy. This means that test scores are not considered even if they are supplied. But many students still take the tests. If their scores are high, they may have an advantage over other students. Tyrone Jordan is a first-year student at Arizona State University, which does not require standardized test scores. He said he took the ACT and the SAT to get ahead of other students and to help him receive money in the form of scholarships. Jordan said he wants to study mechanical engineering. He said he thinks the difficult classes at Tempe Preparatory Academy prepared him for college. His standardized test results helped support him and his family financially. Jordan said, "All the test did for me was give me extra financial money." I'm Dan Friedel.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. In life, things can get tough. Sometimes it is good not to let things bother us. Letting things roll off our backs is a good life skill. When things roll off our backs, they are out of our minds. They no longer bother us. But let's face it, sometimes things do bother us. Sometimes in life, we are pushed to our limit. So on today's program, we talk about those times when we have had enough. We have a couple of expressions that help us describe that state of mind. They involve the word straw. First, let's define straw. Straw is the dry stem of plants, like wheat or other grains. TheHayManager.com says, "Straw is yellow or golden-colored and is a byproduct of the grain harvest. In other words, it is a waste product of wheat.
but it has many uses. In a garden, you can use straw on top of soil to keep it from drying out. Straw can also keep weeds from growing. Straw, especially dry straw, is not very nutritious. But because it is hollow, straw makes excellent bedding for animals. Horses, cows, goats, and camels may enjoy a good night's sleep on a straw bed. Animals not only sleep on straw. Some may also have to carry bales of straw on their backs. And that brings us to this expression, the straw that broke the camel's back. Merriam-Webster Dictionary says the expression means the last in a series of bad things that happen to make someone very upset, angry, or some other bad feeling. The straw that broke the camel's back was one straw too many. With that piece added to the camel's back, the load became too heavy to bear. In other words, it is the last thing to happen that makes you give up on something. Here is an example. Let's say I have a friend who constantly lets me down. When he says he is going to do something, he never does it. And he always promises next time will be different. Well, one day I told him I was going out of town for 2 days and needed someone to feed my cat. He offered to help. I was not so sure, but he promised that he would take care of my cat, Meepers. I believed him and left my cat in his care. Well, guess what? He forgot to feed her. She went 2 whole days without food. Luckily, Meepers is a very fat cat. But still, that was unforgivable. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. I am never trusting him again. We have a similar straw expression, but without the camel. The last straw is the last thing that pushes you to some sort of limit. You cannot take a situation anymore because of that last straw. Here's another example. Earlier this year, I joined a local yoga studio. It was very close to my home, so that was good. But other things about the studio were not. It was very small, so when I did yoga positions, I would often get hit by other people. That bothered me. Also, the teacher talked too much about modern philosophy during the class. That got on my nerves. But then she raised the cost of her classes. The price almost doubled. That was the last straw. I decided just to do yoga at home with a YouTube instructor. I save money, and if the instructor talks too much, I can just turn down the sound. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Don't forget to practice using last straw or the straw that broke the camel's back. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Thank you, Anna. And that's the Learning English broadcast for today. Thanks to my colleagues Faith Perlow, Brian Lynn, and Gregory Stockel. And thank you for listening. You can learn more about us at learningenglish.voanews.com. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to keep learning English with stories from around the world. I'm Dan Friedel.